We read to know we are not alone. C.S. Lewis. Hello and welcome to another episode of Prattle and Pages with me, Carrie Hope Fletcher. I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're having a good day or a good evening, a good weekend, a good run. You might be running while you listen to this. I don't know, but whatever you're doing, I hope you're having a nice time because that's the important thing. This week, I wanted to talk about a book by Hank Green, who I think of first and foremost as one of the Vlogbrothers. I was going to say grew up, but I don't think I can say I grew up watching Hank Green, but I started watching the Vlogbrothers around 2012. So how old was I? I would have been 18, 19. And I was obsessed. I was a nerd fighter. I loved their content and I still do love their content. But I have a lot less time to watch YouTube now. So I've kind of just fallen out of the world of YouTube and the YouTube community over the last few years. But when I was watching, I was obsessed and I loved the Vlogbrothers. So when I found out that John Green was an author and I read The Fault in Our Stars and cried my little heart out, it was the best discovery ever. And I went on to read Paper Towns, Looking for Alaska, Will Grayson, all that good stuff. So when Hank Green announced that he was bringing out a book, I was like, this is something I need to read. And I heard lots of people talk about it. I heard lots and lots of praise for it, but just didn't get around to reading it because, as I said in my first episode of the Prattle and Pages podcast, I was in the biggest reading slump of my life. So when, at the beginning of this year, I got back into reading, it was one of the first books that I jumped for, and I absolutely loved it. It really is an absolutely remarkable thing, buddum tish. I went in not knowing anything about it. You know, I read the blurb, but I didn't really know anything about it. I tend not to read reviews, which is hysterical because I now have this podcast, but I like going in blind. I like not knowing anything about anything. I do it with all works of fiction, really. If I hear about a movie that's apparently good, I'm like, say no more. I don't need to know anymore. I'm gonna watch it. Leave it with me. And same with musicals. I try not to listen to anything or find out anything before I go and see it. I like just going in not knowing anything about it. And that's kind of what I did with this book. And I feel like it did me a lot of favours. Saying that though, I am going to give you a little rundown of what this book is about. This book is about a character called April May. Instantly, I'm sucked in because I'm a big lover of strange, fun names. The first book I ever wrote was called On the Other Side, first novel I ever wrote. And the protagonist in that is called Evie Snow. Evie was a name that I just loved when I was younger. Every character in every story I ever wrote was called either Evie or Gwen. I just loved those names. And I wanted all of the last names in the book to be to do with weather. I'm not sure why, like weather and seasons. So the protagonist was called Evie Snow and the man that she falls in love with was called Vincent Winter. Winter, Snow. And the man that loves her but could never be with her was Summer. Jim Summer, as Olaf from Frozen figured out quite quickly. Snow melts in the summer. So that was why I gave them those names. So as soon as you tell me that the protagonist of a book is called April May, I'm like, I'm in, sold. I want to know what she gets up to. She sounds like a fun gal. So this book is about April May, and she happens to just be in the right place at the right time. She is walking home from work at like 3 o'clock in the morning in New York City and comes across this weird statue that is just stood in the middle of the street. It's like 10 foot tall. It looks like a warrior wearing armor. And she calls her friend to come and film a video with it because she thinks it's just an art installation. And she's like, maybe if we're the first ones to talk about it, we might gain a bit of attention from it. Wouldn't that be fun? Doesn't take it too seriously. Films this silly YouTube video where she's pretending to interview this statue. And by the time she wakes up in the morning, it has gained a lot of attention. It's got millions of views. not just because it's a fun video and the first of its kind, but also because I think it's 64 statues have turned up in cities around the world. So everyone is talking about these statues, and in her video she names the one she finds in New York City Carl, and from that point onwards everyone around the world starts calling these statues Carls. And the book is essentially about them trying to figure out what these statues are. Are they alien life forms that are visiting Earth? If they are, do they mean us harm? And April May is kind of thrust into this world where she has become sort of the spokesperson for these beings. And she ends up on TV and on the radio and being interviewed and making quite a lot of money from being the spokesperson for these strange statues that have appeared all over the world. And this book kind of mixes together a lot of things that I'm interested in. As we talked about with Daisy Jones and the Six, I'm very interested in famous people, celebrities, fan culture, and there's a lot of that in this, which I think was massively, you know, inspired by the fact that Hank Green has gained a lot of internet attention himself from being one half of the Vlogbrothers, and, you know, making incredible videos, and they've got millions of subscribers. So he writes from a very authentic place of knowing exactly what it's like to be thrust into a position of power and fame and gaining a lot of attention, whether that's positive or negative. So it comes from a very authentic, genuine place and comes across that way as well. You know, you get those books that are written from the perspective of a teenager by someone who's like 50 years old, and it just sounds like it's a 50-year-old pretending to be a teenager. It's that kind of thing, but done well. Hank Green knows exactly what he's writing about, so it comes across as if he knows exactly what he's writing about. But also, I forgot how much I loved sci-fi. Now, I know that I love watching sci-fi. One of my favourite movies of all time is Galaxy Quest, and I know that's kind of like light sci-fi, but I do love science fiction. I really, really do. But I forgot how much I loved reading sci-fi. I've not really read a lot of sci-fi. Have I said sci-fi too many times? Last episode it was the word fascinating, this time it's sci-fi. I've not read a huge amount of science fiction, but this reignited my love for reading it. And something that I love about science fiction is the unpredictability of it, because it's fiction in its most potent sense. If aliens were to visit Earth, we don't know what they would look like. We don't know how that visitation would take place. We don't know how that scenario is going to go down. So it's not something that you can predict. I couldn't predict what Hank Green's idea of aliens visiting the Earth was going to be like and what was going to happen within his story, because it's all his interpretation of that. So I loved not knowing. Something I find the hardest about reading fiction is that my brain just doesn't let me enjoy things in the way that I assume other people enjoy things. My brain just wants to feel like it's clever and try and figure out the ending before I get to the ending. Something that really annoyed me about reading We Were Liars by E. Lockhart is that I figured out what was going on about 50 pages in, and I knew what the ending was going to be, and I was really upset because I feel like everyone was talking about the big twist in We Were Liars and it's gonna hit you out of the blue, you're never gonna see it coming. And I saw it coming and I was just very upset with myself. And I do it all the time. And even if I'm wrong, even if I get the ending wrong, the fact that I'm always just trying to jump ahead and not just letting the work of fiction happen to me, I try and immerse myself in it and try and figure it out before the characters figure it out. And it's maybe one of my worst traits. I really, really hate that about myself. So maybe I need to start reading more science fiction for the reason that I often just can't figure out the ending. I won't be able to figure out the ending because it's so outlandish. And, you know, it's not like trying to figure out a whodunit, like a murder mystery, where someone has been killed and there is a killer. There is undeniably a killer, and the job of the characters in the book are to figure out who that killer is. With something like science fiction, where it's about, you know, an alien invasion, you know, sure, you know that aliens are going to arrive on Earth, that is a given, but from that point onwards, what happens is completely up to the author, and there's no way for you to predict what that is going to be, you know, how that's going to go down. So I need to start reading more science fiction for that reason alone. However, the thing that I loved so much about An Absolutely Remarkable Thing was the fact that it happened on a global scale. Maybe it's because I read it during a global pandemic. I loved it. I loved this feeling of worldly, earthly togetherness. I thought it was great. And the reason everyone comes together is because April May realizes that when you come into contact with these statues, you start having dreams. And in these dreams, there are puzzles that you need to figure out. And suddenly, you've got pretty much the entire world having the same dream and exploring this world that these statues have created. And some of these puzzles require certain knowledge that only certain people are going to have, like it requires speaking a language or being able to write in an ancient dead language or being an expert in maths. But all of a sudden, there are these people who don't want the Carls around anymore, and they think that they are alien life forms, but they are dangerous. And suddenly, there's sort of these two sides who are trying to figure out these puzzles before the other side. Because they think that once you figure out the last puzzle, or you figure out every puzzle there is to figure out, that something is going to happen. They might leave, or they might start doing something. And it becomes this race between both sides. And it's so fascinating to see how one tiny YouTube video escalates and becomes something so much bigger, and how April May, who the other night was just a normal person, suddenly wakes up and is thrust into this world of fame and attention and being a spokesperson for potentially an alien life form. It's just amazing to see how things keep escalating, and it's just great. So, let's move on to my star ratings. Do I like the cover? I do like the cover. However, I think it keeps things very vague. When I look at the cover of this book, it doesn't say to me that it's science fiction, but then I understand why that's, if that was a conscious choice, I get why that has been done, because it just means it's going to appeal to a wider audience. But it also doesn't really say much about what the story is. It kind of doesn't give away whether it's YA or whether it's just fiction for, you know, adults as well, whether it's just normal science fiction. So even when I picked up the book, I was kind of unclear. I would say that it's just normal science fiction because the protagonist is not a teenager, which is usually the giveaway. However, that is not to say that younger people wouldn't enjoy it. But also, it doesn't really give much away about the story. It has the vague shape of one of the statues, one of the alien life form statues on it. But aside from that, it is kind of just a blue and green book. So whilst I do like the cover, I don't think I can give it a star for the cover. Sorry, Hank Green. Do I like the writing style? Yes, I really, really loved the writing style. It's written in a very, very clever way. It's kind of written like a diary of sorts after the events have taken place. So I really enjoyed the moments of hindsight that you get from April May, where she's like, I made this decision and it was a stupid decision and I can't believe I did it, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway because it's part of the whole story. I think that's really, really clever and really well done. Do I relate to the characters? Yes, I do. Being a vlogger myself, I totally understood that feeling of suddenly having a video that's getting way too much attention, more attention than you thought it would, and it kind of spiraling out of control. And also just this idea of fame again. You know, I wouldn't ever call myself a celebrity, but I have gained a level of attention that means I'm recognised every now and again when I'm out and about, and the kind of pressure and excitement as well that comes with that. So I got it. I get where April May is coming from within her story. Did it make me feel something? Yes, I couldn't put it down. I just kept wanting to know what was going to happen. And I totally felt the frustration and trepidation and terror at times of the characters. And I just couldn't, I really couldn't put it down. And when I wasn't reading it, I was thinking about it. So it definitely made me feel something enough to keep reading until the end. And would I recommend it? Yes. I'm making a podcast about it, so yes, I would. So that is a 4-star read from me. In fact, I think I would probably give it a 0.5-star for the cover, because I do really like the cover. I just don't think it does the story justice. So there we go. An absolutely remarkable thing by Hank Green. I really, really loved it. And if you like science fiction, or again, you're interested in reading about people who have suddenly been shot to fame, it's definitely one for you. It's time for our question of the week. This question has been sent in by someone called Meg, and the question is, if you could save one fictional character's life, whose would you save? Now, the character that springs to mind is a character that actually ends up living, but the death of this character, or what you think is the death of this character, is harrowing. And I remember reading it and watching it, because it's got a movie adaptation. I remember reading it and watching it as a kid and feeling it in the depths of my soul. And that character is Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia, from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Oh my goodness, when Aslan dies on that stone table, a part of me died with him. And I know, we all know the story. He comes back to life. He is resurrected. But if I could stop any death from happening, it is the death of Aslan. It is that moment when the White Witch plunges that knife into Aslan's body. It's just horrendous. It is one of the worst fictional deaths. That, along with Dobby. I think Dobby is another character who I would try and save. He deserved better. But Aslan, my goodness. My goodness. Whose life would you save? Which fictional character would live because of your interference? Please let me know at Prattle and Pages on Instagram, and I will see you next time.